nirrakom għal program jihur Connect miħaj Amy Kamilleri-Zara. Connect huwa program imtella mill-fakulta t-sej fil-soċieta fin ta' kull ġimgħa niltaqgħu ma' studenti ta' dottorat, riċerkaturi jew akademiċi fiħdan il-fakulta biex insiru nafu iktar mill-qrib ir-riċerka li tkun qiegħda għaddejja. Għal-program tal-lum għanna magħna student ta' dottorat Alexander Dimitrievich, grazzi tal-qajt li sedina tagħna.
Thank you.
Alexander huwa student fiħdan il-fakulta u miegħu nkun qegħdin nitkellmu dwar riċerka li qed jagħmel f'livell ta' dottorat dwar oppożizzjoni organizzata għad-drittijiet tan-nisa. Alexander huwa persuna mis-Serbja, allura ovvjament ħajkolli naqleb il-lingwa l-Ingliż biex inkunu nistgħu niftehmu aħjar. Alexander, thank you for accepting to be on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
And I'd like to start by asking you what led you to study at the doctorate level. We know that we're just talking about it before starting the program, that it's not an easy feat at all, especially when you know you have a family and you have other work. So what led you to embark on this journey?
Well, what happened, I mean, it's a long story, but basically my wife and me, throughout our living together, we've been sort of, you know, I'm not going to say switching, we were switching roles. There were periods of time where I was the main breadwinner, there was a period of time where she was the main breadwinner. And there was a period of time where we were both working really full time, full blast, and that didn't work out for us. I mean, we did not spend much time with our kids and stuff and so on and so forth, but something had to give, and we sort of made a decision that I will take over become a stay-at-home dad, and that I will, because I always wanted to go back to study, and that's what we did that 11 years ago, and I first then done my master's, and in the meantime I was involved in setting up founding an NGO, which is called Men Against Violence. Mm-hmm. An NGO the purpose of this NGO, the idea was to try to engage men and boys more into issues related to prevention of violence, gender-based violence, domestic violence, intimate violence, all these kind of forms that are dominant in our and in every other society, basically, and that's how it started. I started looking into history of men being engaged in this kind of activity of trying to engage men and boys into these things, which is very hard. There is a lot of, and I realize that
why is it so hard?
There is a lot of resistance, and there are. I mean, I looked back and I found, like, even in 70s there were men-led organizations which were like working on these issues and so on and so forth. But there was always a lot of resistance too, especially because when you start talking about gender and gender-based violence, there is a lot of resistance to it online, and historically there were organizations which were always opposing any sort of movement in improving equality and improving gender equality and other as
and
well.
And the resistance comes from men themselves?
Coming from men. That usual whataboutism, you know, when you start talking about gender equality, gender-based violence and whatever, you know, when soon as you mention gender for most men is like it's an opportunity to brush it off their shoulder and say, oh, that's something about women, that's something that women do and women, you know, and it's none of my business.
It's actually something that men do and women are the victims.
But. Yes. But, you know, but people kind of forget that being male is a gender as well, mm-hmm. you know, and when you talk about living in a patriarchal society and patriarchal structure and what have you, the biggest victim by far of this are women. There's no question about it. But men also, there is a burden of patriarchal expectations that falls on men in a different way, mm-hmm. And not to the same extent, but it's there, and it's in men's interest. I firmly believe it's in men's interest. The gender equality is actually good for men. it's in man's interest to work towards it, because by every measure, by anything that we can measure, more gender equal societies, there is less violence in it, less violence on men as well, men on men. If you look at, I don't know, businesses, companies and things like that, the more gender equal is the business structure, they are safer to invest, they perform better on the markets and these things I don't understand. But and thirdly, or even on individual level, I mean, all the research that we have shows that the couples who live in a more gender equal partnership, where these roles and everything prosper in better way. They have lower divorce rates. Their children perform better on any psychosocial thing that we can measure. Mm-hmm. They are financially better off and so on and so forth. And not to mention that their sex life is usually also much better.
Okay.
Boys love that when I go to school and when I tell them, they are all, oh.
Yeah. The resistance that usually comes from men when trying to set up organizations mm-hmm. for men to fight gender-based mm. violence, etc. In what form is this resistance? Is it in speech, as in, is it like hate speech?
Yeah.
Is it
historically there were always sort of men or group of men that were opposing and working against any progress in women's emancipation, no? But usually, before internet, those would be sort of thinkers, or let's call them like that, they would write these books or these pamphlets mm-hmm. and what have you, and there would be men who would, read this and congregate, but it was before internet, it was hard for that to get some sort of mass become significantly large. That changed with internet a lot, and the way to express and to congregate, to meet like-minded people, or to influence and miseducate, no, I'm not going to say educate, but influence other, became much easier. And so now online there are massive forums that where men that think like this or are opposing women's rights, women's emancipation, gender equality, and so forth, they congregate, they produce materials, comment sections. Obviously, they are the biggest. That's how I started, because I realized that any time there is an article in the paper about gender equality, we were going in last decade through a lot of mm-hmm. changes on this. There was a lot of resistance and nasty comments, and I couldn't get it. And that's basically what caused. Then I actually there was a book that I read, written by Michael Kimmel. He's an American sociologist specializing in gender. And he wrote this book, which is called Angry White Men.
Okay.
Basically what he did, he, as a professor, he found people he profoundly disagreed with. A racist, man who is, people who are opposed to gender equality, homophobic person. And he basically contacted them and he said, listen, you and me, we're never going to agree on anything, but I would really like to understand where you're coming from. And that's what caused me, that was kind of gave me an idea
for
the study. I know I'm not going to agree probably with these men, and I don't want to influence whatever, but I would like to understand them, because I'm finding it really hard to understand that somebody would think and even act like that.
Okay, very interesting. So obviously this is, you answered my next question as to what led you to this topic for your research.
Because
why do you think there is a need for this study?
Well, when I started toying with an idea of looking at this, let's say, anti-women movement or anti-feminist movement, if you like, I would go to the databases and, if you type feminism and you get a million results, books, articles, whatever you want. But when you type anti-feminism, I got something like 3,000 results. And I was looking at previous research, if there was anything done and stuff. And it was when I was just started looking at it, it was hard to get by. You know, there was not much. There was research on masculinity, which picked up mostly from late 80s, not mm-hmm. before, which is very helpful, which is a big part of my study. But actually looking into this group and these congregations of men, these groupations and organization, there was hardly any. And considering their size, considering how many, like if you go on Reddit, some of these groups have like 700,000 members, wow. You know, and they were not only anti-feminist, but they were groups which are specifically about hating women.
Okay,
which had like 20,000, 30,000 in size, and you know, that's so much.
Very scary.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, there's just not enough. It's international, you know, in communities anybody can become. So, and I finished my master's, and it was a year or two past that, and I said, okay. That's the next step that I can make is the doctorate.
Okay, so focusing a bit more on your research, what are you going to be really looking at? So, what is your mm-hmm. research going to focus
okay,
on?
Okay, so most of these groups, because obviously through, you know, searching and researching, you find out that most of them, they talk about the rights of men.
Rights of men.
Men rights.
Okay.
And, but... There, you know, when you are for something, okay, as an NGO, you know, you are looking into ways of changing things for better, for, I don't know, for a minority, you know, for people with disability, for, and so on and so forth. But I found in their actions that there is nothing that they look to improve. They actually, from the actions, they said they are just opposing improvements of others, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
Which form
we can explain it. I think so. Basically, a lot of the POs, what we call the POs, mm-hmm. which are disabled people's organizations, yeah. or other organizations that work with minority mm-hmm. groups, their aim is to either improve services yes. or improve, you know, awareness. Whereas in this case, you're saying it's
just opposition. They are consistent. They are not proposing some that it doesn't seem to me, let me not be so it doesn't seem to me, it seems that they are constantly opposing any changes in
for other people,
you know. And for me that is weird. If you are looking for improving the rights of men, you should be looking what are the issues that men are facing and try to work on those. But it obviously, I'm not going to make it like 100% because they are organizations that try to, but they don't consider themselves men rights okay. organization. And for me, that was like, are you in favor of something or are you there just to oppose
this is very
things that you don't like?
The aim of these organizations that you're going to be looking at are essentially opposing the improvement of rights of other groups.
Oh, gender, mostly gender and women's rights.
Okay.
And obviously there are many, most of them are not formal organizations, but they are, you know, over the time, they call themselves by different names. And they are the ones who are, I'm not going to say benign, but like there is one particular group, it's called Men Going Their Own Way, MGTOW. Okay, so they have their own kind of philosophy. They have whole memorandum of understanding what they are disappointed about in the society. They think that men are used and abused by the system, and they just want to withdraw themselves from, you know, obligations that society puts on them.
Okay.
So, like, if you go on their forum where they talk, you'll see a lot of talk about they share recipes, kind of, you know, because, like, they want to be self-sufficient. They don't want to depend on anyone. They talk about growing plants and what have you. They talk about isolating themselves from the world, so they want to like have a a small cottage somewhere in the forest where nobody can touch them and see them. You know, they don't need anybody. And I would say, okay, that's, you know, if that's what you want to do, it's fine. But then you see them, they like, ah, there is an article talking about, I don't know, some woman who divorced and got a large settlement. And then they all go to that article to comment and post nasty comments. You know, so, okay, if you want to withdraw yourself from, you know, because the society is not treating your gender well, okay, leave it. You know, why do you have need to go and aggressively, you know, argue against, you know, this case or that case of this woman or that woman or this woman's rights organization or so on and so forth. So it's a bit weird, yes. Okay. I don't know. I think we went a bit off topic.
So how are you going to... So what's the methodology that you're going to be adopting?
So basically what I'm doing is I will be conducting semi-structured interviews.
Okay.
Basically, through my literature review, I basically gone through seeing what are the spheres or topics of interest of these groups, men and so on and so forth. And so basically I want to discuss these topics, not in a very structured way. I want them to tell me what brought them to their thinking and why do they think the way they think about these issues. I'm hoping to conduct basically either in person or online interviews with some of these men.
Okay, so are they going to be, so your participants are going to be men who belong to these organizations?
Either belong to these organizations or they are members of groups, because they're not formal organizations.
Okay.
You know, they're like
forums.
Maybe there is a forum or there is a Facebook group, which, you know, they meet up. I intend basically contacting these groups on Facebook, on social media, and basically asking them if any of their followers or members, if it's a group or some, would be willing to speak to me about it.
Okay. So, but
the idea is men talking to men, you know, because a lot of these men, they believe that, you know, women are, how shall I say, that the research is skewed, the research is biased, with the research that shows that most of the victims of domestic violence are women. They claim that that's not true. But my thought is, okay, I'm a man, you know, and maybe they would be more likely to speak to me.
Probably there'll be an element of, because obviously you don't necessarily belong to their communities,
yes,
of insider research, because they might feel more compelled to talk to you because you are part of them.
I'm part of their gender. I'm definitely not part of
their
groups, their ideologies. And my intention is not not to change their mind or to convince them that they're wrong. I mean, far away from it, but I would really, really like to understand where it's coming from and why they think the way they think, because it does not make sense to me.
Okay. So that's the way you're going to be collecting your data.
Yes.
So is it just these interviews?
Yes. Or there is another element. There is another part of my research, which is basically not analysis. It's a bit of analysis of comments in the local newspapers. So I will be, as I said, I have these themes that are reoccurring they're interested. So I will be selecting a 6 month period where I would be looking for the articles in three local English newspapers, and I will be looking at the comments, articles which are related to these themes, these topics. And I will be looking at the comments, and what I'm looking for is that because these large groups, they create their own terminology, they use their own language, sort of, so they will have words like mangina. So that would be a man who is a pro-feminist. He's not, you know, he's not a real man. He's mangina.
Okay.
There are many. They actually have their own dictionaries. You can Google them online. So I will be looking.
It takes them a lot of work.
I will be looking for these, if these terms, which are sort of coming from mostly from America or from UK or Australia and so forth, if this language of these groups is seeping through to locally, you know, and if these ideas, you know, of alpha male, and these strict gender roles and what have you, if it is sort of influenced by the idea, or is just good old patriarchal thinking kind of that exist. So that's one part. And then the second part is obviously the interviews, which I'm hoping to conduct soon.
Okay, very good. So I wish you all the best for the field work. What do you intend? Obviously, we carry out research with the aim of eventually, you know, trying to use it for either the, you know, improving the lives of our participants or the community that they make part of. What do you foresee research doing eventually?
So my approach is I'm taking the sort of a feminist epistemology. So it basically the
yes, feminist, can you talk to us a bit about this?
So basically, feminist approach to a study is basically when you at the core you're not putting the data or the findings. At the core of feminist approach, there has to be your subject of your study. So how can I, as you said, how can I improve their position or their situation with this research? So I think maybe some of these men can change their mind. As I said, I don't intend trying to do that. But I think that I'm hoping that my study and my findings will help other men in the future, because what I intend doing with it, I'm trying to use the knowledge that I get because in my work with my NGO. Mm-hmm. In my NGO, I organized trainings and lessons for teenagers, boys. I go to schools and basically I talk to them about these things, about gender equality, about intimate partner violence, about dating violence. I talk about red flags and recognizing the signs of bad relationship, power.
And you do just this, you do this only with boys and men?
I do in schools. So I work in mixed classes, even with girls as well. I usually partner up with SOAR, which is an organization of women who survived violence. So basically I would go and as a man, I would talk about these things. And then usually a survivor would then come and basically tell her story, like how these things that I was talking about play out in the real life. That's one. The other thing, like I worked with University of Malta on a project which dealt with sexual harassment at schools. Again, it was all about trying to get everyone, but usually I target boys, to sort of see why is it not okay and what they can do to prevent it, stop it, and so on and so forth. So I'm hoping that what I will find out will give me more inside knowledge so that I can do these things better and reach more boys or more men in a way that I, you know, don't know or can't now. So I'm hoping that this will benefit somebody in the future.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting how you're taking this, because we often talk about, you know, looking at the red flags from the woman's perspective. Yeah. So when you're in a relationship, what you should, you know, look at if, you know, there are elements of it. But what you are doing is actually, you know, targeting very often the people who might commit.
Trying to put them in women's shoes and trying them to understand. I mean, there are issues of coercion and control in relationship because what people usually don't understand is when you say domestic violence, he slapped her or he beat her. No, it's not. Domestic violence, it's a pattern of behavior that takes long time to get to physical violence. Nobody gets beaten on the wedding day. You know what I mean? It's domestic violence and intimate violence happens follows a pattern of behavior of control that gets stronger, bigger, larger, and until the perpetrator is comfortable going physical and so on and so forth. So and that is something that is important, I think, for everybody to recognize these.
Yes,
it's usually called red flag,
women.
And also to recognize green flags. which is usually also not spoken about. What are the signs of a good relationship? You know, apart, you know, how do you know that you are safe? How do you know that you are with the person
the
who
right
will
person.
Not, you know, not the right person, because that, you know, but a person who will not resort to these, you know, psychological and other sort of tricks that eventually lead to something.
It's very interesting that you're using this idea of green flags also with with younger,
yes,
younger
yes.
people.
Because they are the ones that are like, just 2 days ago on Guardian had an article how Gen Z are boys from Generation Z, the current upcoming, are more opposed to women's rights and to more consider word feminism to be a bad word than boomers, you know, and because there are many influences that work really hard to get to these boys and to influence
them
in a wrong way.
It's not just amongst boys, because I recently saw an article how even the word feminist is also looked upon in a negative way, even amongst young girls and women.
Yes,
so
yeah.
It might be a future project. So I wish you the best of luck
Thank you.
With your project. Grazie Alexander tal-li samdin in-nofsija magħna hawnhekk fejn iddiskutejna r-riċerka li inti qed tagħmel u eventualment xa jwassal il- dak li ħatkun qed l-informazzjoni li ħatkun qed tgħaddi. Sizinkom tiltaqgħu miegħi l-ġimgħa d-dieħla għall-programm ieħor Connect. Grazie.